Ben Jaworski, what's going on?
Not too much. It has been a wild week.
Oh, it's Monday. How could it be a wild week?
Well, I guess since it's been a wild week since I've last seen you.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant this week. I'm like, holy crap, bro. It's like, it hasn't even been 24 hours yet. What's been wild?
Well, let's see. It was a combination of, number one, my phone charger broke. Like the actual like unit inside the phone, like the plug wouldn't work. So I had to only charge using like magnetic chargers. No worries. Liz, my assistant, she's amazing. You've met her. She takes in my phone to the Apple place. They swap it out, give it back to me. Everything's fine, right? Wrong. My SIM card doesn't work. So I had to take it to the Verizon store. I had to take it to the T-Mobile store. And because of a company, because Sprint switched over to T-Mobile, they couldn't figure out how to get it working. So they went a whole 24 hours without getting it working. Long story short, my phone number and anything connected to my phone number was like inaccessible for a full 48 hours because no cell carrier was working for me. And then right on the back end of that, I'm sad and also happy to say that Liz is moving on to a new company, which is devastating to me because now I'm not going to have a personal assistant. And as you know, John, I need all the help I can get. But I'm really happy for her because she got hired to an amazing position at a startup company. So
nice.
Or as an operations manager role. So I'm really happy for her and I'm very sad for me. And then I had a 10-mile hike that I did on Friday with thunderstorms to throw in there. And then I had a pickleball tournament on Saturday and a different pickleball tournament on Sunday. And I didn't win either of them. So it's been a long week since I last seen you, John.
Well, the pickleball stuff self-inflicted. There's nothing I can do to help you with pickleball. You chose that shit. I don't know what's going on with the iPhones these days. Me and my daughter got new iPhones a few months back, and hers needed a SIM card. Like kind of same thing. Like we replaced the phone and had to do the SIM card too. And we're on, you know, the same plan. It was very weird. I didn't have to do the SIM card. And it was a big pain in the butt and it took us several hours to fix it.
Yep.
It was not fun. I think, I don't know why that is. I might figure that out at some point. It'll come to me. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry you're losing your, I was going to say, I'm sorry you're losing your system, but my week's been pretty easy for the most part. Terrible workout today as usual, but you know, I'm a complainer, so I think they're all terrible. And other than that, kind of a chill weekend. Just hung out with my girls and watched a little TV, worked out some. We went to breakfast, had a huge breakfast yesterday, which I'm a huge breakfast fan, so that was lovely. But other than that, pretty low-key, just getting ready for the CrossFit Games.
I'm super excited for the games.
Trying to get my life together, buying all the stuff I need for the trip and trying to get all my, you know, last couple of weeks of workouts in and cramming in a better meal plan so I look good when I'm taking photos.
Oh yeah, shoot. I forgot about that. I need to stop eating Chick-fil-A and shape up a little bit.
Oh, I had a hardcore week of chicken and rice. It was so much fun.
You're cutting hard, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm cutting hard. It's just you know, it's hard to describe. You know, I got so used to that RP thing back when I was doing it. I'm kind of following it, but I'm far looser on it. You know, I've kind of ramped up the protein some and adding some things in that I really like, but watching, you know, the macros and the calories that go with it, just, you know, I wouldn't say I'm really in a deficit, but I'm certainly not exceeding calories by very much, if any. Right. Just trying to be more thoughtful about what I'm eating. Mostly it's just, I've really become a big fan of no process foods. You know, I've probably said that before, but, I just feel better when I'm not eating stuff that comes out of a box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when it's actual, you know, chicken and rice or chicken and vegetables or steak and vegetables, like, just, you know, foods that have one ingredient. And so that's really what I've been focused on for the last couple of weeks and mostly just wanting to get to the games feeling good.
Cool.
Know? Like not exhausted or any more exhausted than I already am, you know? So, and I took your advice since we talked about it on last week's show, and I scaled my Wednesday workout, which first workout I've scaled in a while, so I would be able to recover better. And I scaled my Saturday workout. So since I've been taking, you know, Thursday and Sunday as my rest days, I scaled the days off before both of those, and I feel pretty good. And I think I was able to keep the intensity up in both workouts, and you know, still came away sweaty and breathless like you want to in a CrossFit workout. So
sure. Cool. Well, I'm excited to see how that stacks up, and hopefully it pays some good dividends, and hopefully some others can listen to that as well. If it works, obviously.
It should. I mean, I've just felt wrecked lately, and these workouts have been exceedingly tough. Today was tough. Tomorrow's going to be tough. And so I don't even know. I haven't even bothered to look to see what Wednesday says, but I can 100% guarantee you I will scale Wednesday based on what today's was and tomorrow's. Today was just it was heavy lift. It was 4x8 deadlifts, increasing weight, going up to, I went up to like 75. It was 2 rounds of 120 double unders, 40 pull-ups, 40 dumbbell step-ups, 24-inch box, 50-pound dumbbell. And I just wrecked my legs, dude, because the dumbbell's too heavy to put down. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to pick it back up, so you just, like, you know, you can rest it on the back of your shoulders or on your shoulder or wherever you want to carry. You can carry it, but you don't want to put the damn thing down, so you just – you hold it the whole time. And so it's like that balance of how fast can you go without exhausting yourself, but you've constantly got this weight pushing you down. It's just, it was not fun. So
I hear you, man.
I was not loving life, but cool. I survived. So
yeah, that's good. I've been running to the gym every morning.
Have you? How far away is your gym?
It's 0.89 miles.
Oh, look at you, a little, almost a mile warm up.
Yep, mile warm up, mile cool down. And yeah, this morning, like both of my like inner thighs were starting to cramp up on my ride home, or on my run home. So it was like more of a waddle. But I keep telling myself at the end of these workouts, it's like as long, like don't stop, like just run. I can go slow, but I can't stop. And I will just force myself to run home right after the workout. And it's been good. It's been a good little mental strength test. And it's helping me get a little bit more miles on my feet, which is important prior to elk hunting season, which starts in September. So before that, I need to make sure I get lots of miles in.
Dude, I don't mind running to the gym, but running home, I would not enjoy. I'd be Ubering.
And it's uphill. It's an uphill run home too.
Back when I was training for marathons many, many years ago, I always had my phone with me, and I always told myself at some point I'm going to get too far away from home, and I'm just going to have to Uber back, you know, and I never did. Somehow it never happened, but I got close a couple of times. It's hard, like, staying mentally tough out there. And, you know, even that mile run you're talking about, you know, particularly if you've had a hard workout and you're at that waddle phase, like, what are you doing to push through that? Like, keep that kind of mental edge, toughness, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I think the one thing is I just make, number one, I set myself up for it. It's like, hey, I know that if I get this gym membership and it's close enough to my house, chances are I will add in the running that I naturally say I want to do, but I never actually do, because I don't have full custody of the dogs anymore. So I don't always have dogs to run. In getting that gym membership, I knew that, especially during the summer, I tell myself reasons why it's a good idea. You know, hey, it's beautiful out. And, you know, you already like to think you need a little bit more volume than a normal CrossFit class. So why not add in a little bit more volume? And, you know, we need to get a lot more miles on our feet before elk season. So, you know, now's the time to do it. These are the miles that you need to be racking up, and I need to really get comfortable moving when I'm really, really tired. Cause that's what it's all about. So I've tried it once. It was kind of a nice level of miserable, and now I've done it several times and kind of like it. And I even come home from that run, and I'm pretty hot at that point, drenched in sweat. and, you know, hardly moving. And then I just jump straight into a cold shower. And that's been, it's been pretty cool. Cause it's like, it's votes for my brain. It's votes for my psyche that like, hey, you're doing hard things. Like you're doing difficult things. You're strengthening your mental and physical resilience. And that makes me feel good about myself when I'm like actively pursuing those things. So it's kind of been my mental trick here.
All right. Why the cold shower?
Actually, because I listened to a podcast from Andrew Huberman. He's a Stanford doctor, yada, yada, fancy, smart person. He has a podcast where he talked about like dopamine and how your body kind of runs on dopamine, like motivation is all dopamine based. And things like caffeine, things like cocaine, things like nicotine, all kinds of stuff will increase dopamine levels. But then you have like a big spike afterwards and you'll actually be worse off because your dopamine is exhausted for a little while and then eventually it'll come back to normal. So one thing that he talked about is cold exposure actually can help raise your dopamine levels and keep them high for a very, very long time. There's less of like a dip afterwards. It can actually like start to raise your baseline. So you have more dopamine in your system. So long story short, I want to start adding, especially because I'm not doing much caffeine or any caffeine really anymore. I'm like, ooh, I think I could hop in a cold shower. That's going to wake me up for the day. And then it's going to be like a nice calm energy all day rather than, you know, super high spike of caffeine. And then for me, hard crashes in the afternoon.
Are you doing cold baths at all? I keep seeing people do these all the time.
Yeah, no, I haven't, because the bath definitely takes a lot longer. And I don't have an ice barrel yet. Actually might be trying to work out something with them, but yeah, like if I had a cold full plunge to do, I would like jumping in a river or something like that. The tap water here is so cold and I just slam on the cold shower. I think the cold shower sometimes can be even harder because it, you know, you have warm parts of your body that stay warm and then you hit them with a little bit of cold and it's, you just shock yourself over and over rather than just one big shock for the ice bath. But ice bath would probably be what I prefer if I could have it optimized.
Are you trying to get one of these ice barrels? You trying to scam them out of one? What are you doing? Give me the dirt.
No, I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe I'll try to have one. I mean, I just want something that's easy for me. And especially if I might actually be moving soon. So last thing I need is more stuff to move. But I mean, I'm just interested in trying the cold exposure thing, whether it's jumping in a stream or having a barrel for it or whatever. Just want to start trying it out, see if I can actually notice a difference. So I'll try it out for a couple of weeks, see if I like it. But what happens is like, I guess people actually kind of do get like a little bit addicted to it because of the dopamine release that you get.
Right.
And it's a positive addiction, unlike, you know, some of the other substances. So.
Bro, I'm looking these things up right now because now you got my mind working because that's what happens when you have ADHD. And so I'm looking up these ice barrels. First of all, lots of CrossFitters in these photos.
Yeah.
Lots of popular CrossFitters in these photos. These things are $1,200, bro.
High margins. I'll just put it that way.
Dude. See, anytime I look at something like this, I'm like, what guitar could I get for $1,200?
Yeah, or sounds like cold showers are pretty profitable.
Well, so here's the question. So I'm not saying it's not worth $1,200. I don't know squat about these things, but I just want to debate it with you for a second. So, I mean, I feel like you know more than I do. So which 12, if you've got, like, you have a home gym, I have a home gym. Let's just pretend you don't have everything under the sun. $1,200 for an ice barrel or $1,000 for a kick-ass bike? You know, Echo bike or assault bike or you know, name your, you know, piece of equipment ski erg.
Yeah.
Which is more important? Would you rather have the ice barrel?
No, I'd rather have the equipment. I mean, I'd rather have the equipment that gives me the exercise that I want. And I would find a way to do other forms of cold exposure. Like, I don't think you have to have a fancy cold exposure only, you know, piece of equipment. I would start by doing it manually. I mean, heck, you can fill up your own bath with, like, all you do is you stop at the store, grab some ice, throw it in your tub, fill it up with water. right? Same freaking thing. You just have to get a lot of ice.
I had this friend that swore by cold therapy, and he was a runner. He's a big dude. We called him Big Ricky Poo. This dude's like, yeah, it was a great name, BRP. And BRP is like 6'4", 260. It's like a lineman and a runner, a really good runner, by the way. Runs marathons, half marathons, whatever, and a damn good CrossFitter. Strong as the day is long, as much as big. And the nicest guy you've ever met. But anyway, he ran the Las Vegas Marathon. And he and I were talking about running one day. He's like, hey, did I ever tell you about the time I hired a hooker in Vegas? I'm like, no, but I'm interested. He's like, well, he's like, I went to Vegas, ran the Vegas Marathon. He's like, I'm dead. It's like totally dead. Get up to my floor. He's like, I see this hooker coming out of somebody's room. I go to her. I go, hey, sweetheart, you want to make $40? She's like, sure. What do I got to do? He's like, go down and get me a bag of ice. She's like, are you serious? He's like, I'm dead serious. She goes and gets him a bag of ice, puts it in the tub, hands her $40, and she leaves. I'm like, dude, that's
hilarious.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh.
So here's the question about these ice bears. This not sponsored, no prep on this, but I'm really curious now that you brought it up. Do you have to be submerged in water, or in a cold climate like Denver in the winter, can you just go outside and hang out for 5 minutes?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I would assume that it's just simply the exposure to cold on your skin. So I would imagine that maybe air doesn't have the same penetrating effect as full submersion. I don't think that air would do the same, but it could probably work. I don't know.
We're going to have to get somebody on here to talk about this, because I'm really curious now. I mean, because, you know, I live in Cleveland. It gets cold as hell here, dude. Like,
you just walk around naked in the street.
Pretty much. You can just walk, you know, take your shirt off and walk around outside. I don't know. We're going to have to get somebody on and talk about this, because I don't know squat about them. But I'm looking at them going, you know, I'd love the ability to recover faster. I talk about that all the time. If this would help with recovery, I'm not opposed to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, man, I got a little sticker shock. To your point, if something, when I have a jacuzzi upstairs is big enough to lay down in, where I could just go get a couple bags of ice and toss it in there and I'm good.
Yeah. You know?
So I don't know. But then I wouldn't get, you know, the cool Instagram feed of me jumping into a barrel either.
Right. You're not going to look as cool. That's
not going to look as cool.
Very true.
Not going to look as cool. Well, I think you should talk them into getting you one. You're a big deal. You're Bennett Watt-Prep. Come on, dude.
Of course I am. No, I'm just kidding. one of my kind of training partner is sponsored by them. So maybe I'll just be like, yo, Eric, hook me up. But yeah, I mean, I'm just really interested in the science behind the fact that cold exposure can help release dopamine that I'm no longer getting from caffeine. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if I can get that. And then also, yeah, that mental strengthening effect of like kind of overcoming the inner, I guess what some people call the lizard brain, that's always like, oh no, don't do it, it's uncomfortable, like just be comfortable. It's like that prehistoric almost brain, that not prehistoric, but whatever, you know what I meant, that brain that really is all about our survival, when we actually know what's better for our body, and challenging and overcoming those like internal bits that want to stay comfortable all the time. Being able to overcome them, I think, is a very valuable tool in life. You'll get a lot more stuff done if you can overcome the inner weakling.
I love how we've spent 10 minutes talking about something we don't know jack shit about. It's great. Perfect. You do know about mental toughness. You just you mentioned it last week. Did you guys finally release
yes,
your mental, what's it called? What's it actually called?
It's called Strong Mind. And it is a course that Don Fletcher and I created. Don Fletcher is, from Driven Mind Training. She's been on the podcast. I didn't even realize this until we got her testimonials back. She's worked with Sam Briggs. She's worked with Danny Horan. She's worked with several other like games athletes and many more that she's not able to mention due to contractual, you know, obligations. And yeah, it was awesome. We worked together to create it's a 1 month compression course where over the period of, I think it's 21 videos. You don't have to watch videos on the weekend, but if you watch these videos over the course of a month, it builds up this framework for you to build your mental strength and resiliency on. So we talk a lot about, like, you know, understanding your purpose both inside and outside the gym. And then what does that mean to you? And then coming up with values. And then when you have your values, then that's where the mental strength really comes in. It's pretty cool. We talk about cold exposure. We talk about, you know, how doing hard things can help increase your resilience. I'm very excited about it. I'm very proud of it. So we just released it today, less than 12 hours ago. And yeah, it's awesome.
Do you have anything you struggle with from a like mental toughness standpoint in your workouts or just in general?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I definitely struggle with, all the monostructural stuff. Like, it's just boring to me, and that boredom. And I like kind of tell myself I'm not good at it, like rowing long distances, running long distances. And that's because I generally don't like to do them. So me not liking it compound with the fact that I don't really do that much of it. That's just setting me up for weakness. And then when I have these preconceived notions of that weakness going into a workout, it makes it even worse. So one way I'm trying to combat it recently, kind of like we talked about earlier, is running. Like if I start running like 2 miles every single day, or almost 2 miles every single day, or at least a few times a week, that's drastically increasing my mileage. And chances are, after maybe a couple months of that, I'm going to like running, or I'm going to be a lot better at it. And then I'll have these votes of, hey, I'm good at this. Hey, I can do this. And then all of a sudden running won't be as bad.
Right. I always struggle with negative self-talk always. I know I've talked about that before, but I, you know, like you mentioned the rower and it made me think of it. Like, I hate the rower. God, I hate the rower so much. It's just not, it's the same thing. Like, it's just boring to me. So boring. But I do always find when I get on it, like I'm actually a pretty good rower. And when I really get after it, that negative self-talk goes away. Cause then I'm like kind of pleasantly surprised that it's not killing me. You know, like my numbers look pretty good. Like this weekend when I did the workout, I was partnering with a woman in the gym who was scaling some movements, and she wasn't rowing. She was using the ski erg. And so I was getting longer breaks than I'm used to. So I'm like, I have to sprint, and I have to sprint really hard in order to get the stimulus of this workout I want to get, because my breaks were longer than they needed to be. So I ramped that thing up to like 1900 watts, which is a lot, you know, particularly for me. And then I kind of got past that negative self-talk of like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I can do that. Like, you know, I don't do it very often and I complain about it all the time. I don't really, my mind starts to think I can't do it. And then when I'm forced to do it, and I can, then I get this like kind of pleasantly surprised. And so I need to find more opportunities to push myself out of my comfort zone and through the things I don't like to do to continue to reinforce that I need to do them. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, how's your positive self-talk on that beard that you're rocking right now?
On the beard? I don't know. I always get annoyed by it at some point, and then I'll trim it down a bit. It's getting maybe a little scraggly for me.
I appreciate your commitment to it, regardless of its patchiness and grayness. It's great. It's good.
Yeah, it doesn't come like in it. That thick all the time.
You going to shave your head before Madison?
Oh, yeah, at least one more time.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wasn't sure if you're going to leave it long or you're going to try to get it close like mine so we can be twins walking around.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really want to get mistaken for you at some point. So if I'm trying to get the nice gray beard.
Only if people knew me maybe in 1984.
That's the only maybe way. I'll have to get the black glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also no 8 inches of height, I think. Maybe one day they'll think I'm you.
Nobody's mistaken us. Although tomorrow night I've got Justin Kotler on the other podcast, and he and I look a lot alike. Same glasses, same bald head, same gray beard. I'm going to have to make sure we have our name badges up so everybody knows who's here. I did want to talk about, or at least I had it in the notes, I wanted to talk about things you would tell your younger CrossFit self. You sent that to me today. I was like, oh, that's an interesting topic. Because I feel like I've been around a lot of new CrossFitters. Like, you know, CrossFit's been, no shock here, struggling. I think most affiliates have been struggling, but now they're starting to come back. And the one I'm in, man, I'm seeing these guys on board a couple of people a week, you know, two or three people a week. And so I'm feeling encouraged that there's a lot of new people getting back into the sport of fitness. But I'm also watching a lot of them make the same mistakes I think we all make when we first start. What are your one or two things you would tell your younger self?
Yeah. So I wrote down a couple. I think the first thing that I wrote down was don't rely on gear to help you with your movement. And kind of what I mean by that is I wished that early on I didn't use weightlifting shoes or a weightlifting belt or wrist wraps or anything like that. I wish that I was, you know, just raw, no like fancy gear at all, because what happens is that gear kind of becomes a crutch. Like I remember there was a long period of time where like I couldn't squat heavy unless I was wearing a belt, or else it just felt so weak and I would just crumble. There were certainly times where I couldn't do pistols or couldn't do, you know, certain squatting patterns just because my ankle flexibility was terrible. And adding weightlifting shoes like makes it, voila, I can do them. But really all that does is it kind of gives me a crutch and I can lean against that crutch for a much longer period of time. I understand using that gear in order to achieve the movement as prescribed in, like, let's say the open or in a competition or something like that. But if you're using it in training, you're actually slowing down your progress. If I had gotten rid of those weightlifting shoes really early on, I would have been able to increase my ankle flexibility a lot quicker because I'm going to basically be forced to do it if I want to meet the movement standards rather than just allowing myself to use that equipment as a crutch. So that'd be the first one.
Is there anything you would have kept the lifters for as a new crop? Would you kept them for squats, or would you just gotten rid of them altogether?
I would have them specifically for competing. If I was doing like a local competition, or like, let's say there was some sort of inter gym competition. Yeah, I would use them. Or let's say the open, I would use them because it's more efficient and it's easier. But in training, which is really practice, you know, it's practice with a lot of sweat mixed in, I would probably not use them at all. And that's kind of what I've actually, like, it's come full circle now. You know, I had the gear phase where I had, you know, tons, I had all the stuff, and then I slowly started tapering it off. And then it probably at one point was just like, I had my weightlifting shoes in my belt and maybe knee sleeves. But then now I can't even tell you the last time I wore either any of that stuff, probably not in the last year.
What do you think about new CrossFitters wearing all that gear as supportive devices? Like if they have creaky knees, elbows, shoulders, ankles, like do you support it then? Or do you think they should scale enough where they don't need it?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword here. I like the idea, like for instance, if someone's like, they think knee sleeves are some magic, which I know a lot of people who do, you know, it's like some magic. Oh, keep my knees so warm and I feel amazing. If that's what gets them to exercise is the fact that they think that the gear is helping them exercise. For me, whatever prioritizes actually getting people to work out. So if you feel like you need the gear and you want it, and that's the only way you're going to feel motivated to go do the workout, then by all means, wear it up. But again, circling back around to like, I think a lot of the beginners, they prolong, let's say the wrist pain. Like I remember wrist pain from overhead squats and cleans. And you probably remember it too. Like early on, I had some like overhead squats. I remember that angle on my wrist would just, whew, it would fire me up. And I wore wrist wraps to try to navigate around that. And it kind of kept cropping up and kept cropping up. And then I had someone say like, hey, you should just try not using wrist wraps. Then your wrist is going to get stronger. And then not too long after that, I was completely alleviated from all wrist pain. And I haven't had it ever since. So again, sometimes the tool that's being used to do the movement, I like that part, but I don't like if it prevents you from actually moving with the right patterns, or if it prevents strengthening the joint. Like your knee should be able to squat the same range of motion, whether it's wearing knee sleeves or not. Your core should be able to brace, whether it's wearing a belt or not. Now the belt kind of helps, but you see where I'm going with this. Like you right. should be able to do it yourself. And if you can't, only like relying on a piece of equipment to get you there is very much just a short-term fix.
And I had so much gear when I started. I was in the knee socks days, so we had knee socks, wrist wrap. Did it
say bacon on them?
Yeah. I had the bacon socks. I had Ninja. Yeah, the ones that said Ninja, Wad Killer. What the other ones say? I forget what they all said. But we had all the gear. At some point, I just gave it all, literally gave it all up except for my belt. And I only wear the belt when it gets really heavy. And I only wear my lifters when it's really heavy. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't do either one. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I brought the belt out the other day for a workout. We were doing Holly Man, and I was not doing the heavy weight. I was doing 155 pound cleans, but I'm like, I'm going to wear the belt because it's kind of back intensive between the handstand pushups and the wall mm-hmm. balls and mm-hmm. that. And I got just a few rounds in. I'm like, enough of this. Like, it's just annoying. I just threw it off.
Yeah.
It just wasn't worth it. And so I don't, like, I wore it today for heavy deadlifts, but otherwise I never wear that thing. And I definitely don't wear wrist wraps anymore. I couldn't even find, I don't even know where they are.
Right yeah. Now. Same. I don't even know where they were. Black American flag wrist wraps.
I'm not opposed to them. I mean, I think it's good for people if they want to have them, but I like your point. If it makes you comfortable and it gets you to work out, more power to you. Like, I don't think it's a huge thing, but I don't know. I just find life is so much easier when I don't have to rely on all those things, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I love being able to, what's the workout? Doesn't matter. I'm going to wear my shoes and t-shirt and shorts and I'll be there. You know, I guess it may be the exception that I've actually introduced to my gear lineup recently. And this is just because now I don't really have to take care of my hands, do any hand maintenance. Right. Is now I wear grips because I figured out how to wear grips properly. And now it's like almost like a cheat code.
Right.
But gripping was never my issue. It was just like, you know, if I'm doing a ton of pull-ups and I do really big sets when I'm doing those gymnastics, you're prone to tearing if you don't have your calluses shaved up. So it was like, shave my calluses and just use bare hands or adopt grips. Honestly, I'm done the shaving the calluses a couple times a week phase. So I just wear grips when I need to.
Yeah. I don't think that's the same. I mean, I appreciate, you know, the thought. I think that, wearing something to protect yourself from, an injury, which is what grips are.
Yeah.
To me, it's far different. Like matter of fact, I don't even have a problem with new CrossFitters wearing grips because that was my biggest problem. My first couple of years in was
you're tearing your hands.
Oh yeah. My God.
Yeah. That knocks you off for a really long time. And remember here, we're all about, hey, what's going to get you into the gym, you know, more, especially for the beginners who are trying to make that transition and fall in love with fitness, whatever you need to actually get you in there. I'm in support of it. And then, yeah, definitely hand rips. Like, you know, a lot of people rip the middle of their palms or, you know, I used to rip these calluses at the top of my palms. And if I had learned how to use grips earlier, I would have less skipped workouts or maybe less prone to staph infection. Right. Like, it's not like I would skip workouts. I would just have all these wounds on my hand.
You know, I've never seen anybody get a staph infection in a gym before, and it's amazing to me that I haven't.
Well, you're talking to someone who did. I've never told this story.
No, I need to hear it because I've seen it all. And, it, you know, I've seen all those photos people take, you know, where like the whole class rips their hands. They all put them together and take one photo of their hands. And then the next day they're all in doing push-ups. I'm like, how are all you people not getting sick? Like, how is no one getting a staph infection? How'd you get it? What'd you do?
Oh man, I can't believe we've never talked about this. This is actually like a pretty, pretty gut-wrenching story for me. Not anymore, but it used to be. So when I graduated college, moved back to Maryland, started my own affiliate, Blue Crab CrossFit, which still stands today. The original location is by BWI Airport, and now there actually is two locations. When I owned that gym, I made a run at competing as an individual. I had made regionals a year before on a team and had actually done pretty well individually. And I had trained really, really hard the next year, including with a games athlete, my buddy Gary Helmick. We trained a ton together. We were training partners. We'd work out almost every single day. And I was getting pretty good and hung with him, you know, and he was a games athlete. He wasn't just a regionals athlete. So I was hanging with him pretty good. We go into the open, and at this point, I think it's top 48 people made it to regionals or something like that. Like, it was pretty, pretty deep. And I did the open. I did the first, I think, 3 weeks of the open, and I was sitting in the top, I think I was in the top 20 or maybe top 30. So I was like well within the range of being able to make it to regionals as an individual. In fact, one of the workouts, I got fifth in the entire Mid-Atlantic. It was the overhead squat chest to bar workout. Like I smashed that thing. It was either fifth or seventh or something in the Mid-Atlantic. Well, the workout four comes up, and that year, I think it was 13.4. If I'm remembering correctly, it was the, or it might've been 14.4. I'm not exactly sure. That year, whatever the point four was, it was a power clean ring muscle up workout. Essentially, it was like power cleans, toes to bar, ring muscle ups or something like that. Maybe some wall balls in there. Basically, it was my jam. Like it was a workout that I should have placed very, very well, like probably in the top, you know, maybe in the top 50 in the region. It would have been a really good finish. And Thursday night of the announcement, this workout comes up and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, dude, I'm in. Like this, like I was worried it was going to be deadlifts and box jumps, but it's not. It's in my wheelhouse. Oh my gosh, like this is going to move me up the leaderboard even farther. The next morning I wake up Friday morning and I cannot walk. I couldn't put pressure on my left leg. My left leg had swelled up like a balloon and I had excruciating pain and I couldn't walk. I kind of like hobbled downstairs because I just graduated college. I was in my parents' house and I hobbled downstairs and my mom just looks at me and she's like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't know. Like my leg hurts. And I like pulled up my shorts and she's like, oh, and he's like, we're going to the ER right now, because she could see I had this, you know, the ingrown hairs that you get on your leg from cleans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is
a problem for me. I had apparently picked, and this definitely is me, I'm a picker. I had probably picked on that like the day before, and that ingrown hair turned from what I thought was just like a little pimple or whatever that I was trying to pick at. And it turned into like a full blown staph infection. It was MRSA in my left leg.
Oh,
and what was crazy is like, so I went to the ER with my mom because she's like, I'm colorblind, so I can't really see like the infection line. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen one of those where like,
oh yeah,
you'll have the bite or the whatever, and then there's like a line of red going towards your heart. That's like the infection. Well, she could see that. And so she rushes me, you know, to the urgent care, I think is what it was. And this doctor comes in and is like, whoa, you know, that's a nasty infection you got there. And I was hoping he was going to like pop it, you know what I mean? But that's not what they do. Apparently super stupid,
stupid doctors.
So, well, he kind of actually was though. And I probably could have sued this guy. He prescribed me the wrong antibiotics, like literally antibiotics that do not kill MRSA. So I got this antibiotic and it tore up my stomach. Like I felt horrible for like 3 days. And the swelling still hadn't gone down. If anything, it had gotten maybe a little bit worse. So we called back and he's like, oh, you know, that should have cleared up in a day. Like, what do you mean? You know, it's like, they didn't think to follow up with a guy who could have died from a staph infection. But it turns out he gave me the wrong antibiotic. I went to a different urgent care. They gave me the right one in 24 hours. So like basically Sunday night to Monday night where the deadline was, I was fixed-ish from that, you know, like the staph infection went down. I attempted the workout on that Monday. I attempted the workout on like that Monday afternoon evening. I threw up during the workout because my stomach was so torn up. And long story short, I know this is a really long story. I ended up being, I think it was 3 muscle-ups short or 4 muscle-ups short of qualifying for regionals as an individual that year, because yeah, obviously I didn't perform that workout to my best. So that is my staph infection story.
Damn, that's brutal.
Don't pick at the clean leg pimples.
Well, I say I haven't. So first of all, I need to tell you the reason why you're not seeing any questions in the chat. We have some sort of problem with YouTube, but there's a live chat going on actually on YouTube right now. So I'm going through the comments somebody made me think of something. So I was working out with this guy the other day, Ralph, who's in the chat right now, and he's got these shin. So we're talking about kind of like accessories, and he's got a shin guard on that's made of like rubber or plastic, you know, for box jumps. Mm-hmm. And he pulls this thing off, and he bought it because he hit his leg on his box jump, and his entire cap is purple, bro. Like the whole thing. Like, so he has this huge gnarly cut, like right in the middle of his shin, but it had like the blood had just pooled in his leg. Dude, I'd never seen anything like it. I'm like, dude, you're going to die. You're going to get the thing cut off. Like, what the hell is going on? Jeez. So that's like a moment where I'm like, all right, accessories make sense. Like, I think I'd wear one too at that moment. Like, I'm not hitting that shin again, because there's nothing worse, nothing more painful than a box jump hit on the shin. I'm not, like, I know some of the ladies watching have given birth. Sorry, not as painful. Box jump is worse.
Believe me, we know. It's not
painful. We're men. We know what's painful. Seriously. It was ridiculous. And I've looked at him going, is that infected or not? And I don't think it was, but man, jeez. It was rough. Well, I'm glad you didn't get your leg cut off. That's a plus. Yeah.
Well, I guess that should have been the bright side. I was really depressed because I knew I had probably blown my chances. And then the next week's workout was like the thruster row workout. And I still wasn't fully recovered, and it just put me in the dirt. It was a bummer.
I bet you'd be a hell of a good adaptive athlete. You'd probably at least be top 10.
Yeah. I don't know, man. They're fit. They're pretty fit. I don't think I would.
I just wrapped up the campaign raising money for that group, and I paid out half of them over the weekend. And okay, I got to figure out how I'm going to pay all the European ones, because that part's really hard.
Use TransferWise or Wise.
All right, we can talk about it off the air. I got to figure that out. But anyway, all that aside, you're right. These guys are fit as hell, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like crazy fit. Like, I don't even want to think about the workouts these guys do, because it's way harder than what I do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
On a regular basis. Well, is that the dumbest thing you've ever done in the gym? Getting the staff?
The dumbest thing I've ever done in the gym? No. Oh, no. No, no, no. The dumbest thing I've ever done in the gym far surpasses the MRSA story, because I was just trying to like pick a leg pimple or something, and then bada bing, bada boom, you got a staph infection and can't walk. The dumbest thing I ever did at the gym was, it was my first class ever where I was supposed to be coaching, where I was the head coach. Christmas Abbott, and if you don't know her, she's a bit of a savage. She's a former HQ seminar staff member. Now she's like been on Big Brother and is famous for all that. But Christmas was the boss, and she was a bit of a stickler for good coaching and being a good, you know, leader of people during your classes. So she's going to shadow my very first class. I'm nervous. It's a big class. It's like 20 people in this small gym, which at the time was called CrossFit Raleigh. And before class, I decided that it was the perfect time to practice what I had seen on TV recently, which was the ring muscle up handstand push up. Well, I decided to demonstrate minutes, like mere minutes before I need to coach this class at 4:30 p.m. or something like that. First class of the afternoon was packed, yada, yada. Well, I do my ring muscle up, handstand push up. And as soon as I get to the top to lock out that thing and celebrate and show everyone that I can do it, I feel my leg, my foot hits something. And that something was a gargantuan fluorescent light bulb, and it fell from the ceiling and exploded. I kid you not, with 60 seconds before I'm supposed to start this class, it hits the ground and just goes, because they're actually like, it actually sounds like an explosion when you break those things, and probably a billion pieces of glass, like it turned into glass dust all over the rig. And I do that, I get down, and I just look at Christmas, and Christmas looks at me, and she's like, the vacuum is in the closet. I'll see you when you're done. And I spent the next like 90 minutes just vacuuming up glass shards. Oh. And that was my first ever CrossFit class.
Oh my God. That's the best. That's
coaching the best. CrossFit class. Excuse me.
Well, I want to talk about CrossFit mistakes that we've made and help people not make the same ones we've made. But before we do that, let's talk about our mid-show sponsor, Thirdsy. Have you gotten any yet?
Yes.
Thirdsy. Yes, she finally sent you some.
Oh yeah. I'm dialed, man. I think my Oura Ring score from last night was 93.
Was it? Is it helping?
It's definitely helping me. Like, again, I've mentioned this a couple of times. I use it as this routine. You know what? Coffee used to be like that wake up routine, and I like the ritual of it, and I miss it dearly. But now I have this awesome nighttime routine where it's like I start toning down. I turn my phone. So it's color, and then I'll like turn it to, how do I do this? 3 clicks, and now it's gray. So I have a gray phone. Like, and then once I do that, I pour my, you know, cup of Thirdsy, stir it up, sip on it, chug it, and then go read in bed, and then it knocks me out. So, you know, who knows if it's working, but it certainly is helping me get a better sleep routine.
Oh, I'm a longtime user at this point, and I'm convinced because I've always struggled to sleep past like 6 o'clock, and I've been routinely sleeping on the weekends past 8 o'clock, and during the week I can usually sleep to about 7 before I have to roll out of bed and get to work, and which is late for me. But even when I'm getting up, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get up because I'm sleeping so good, you know. Mm-hmm. Stuff's been killer for me, and it's kind of the same. It sounds like we have similar routines, although I'm not reading in bed. I wait about 30 minutes before bedtime and make one, and I just shotgun it. Like, there's no sipping. Oh, like, there's nothing dainty about what I do with Thirdsy. I literally just mix it and just guzzle it, just shotgun mm-hmm. it, and then hang out for 30 minutes, play guitar, you know, do whatever, just kind of chill. And I start to drift away, you know, and it's great. And I'm loving that it's got no melatonin in it. Like, every time I'm in a store, I'm like always kind of looking at stuff. And I was looking at, I forget where I was a couple of days ago, but I saw a sleep supplement, and it's like mm-hmm. with melatonin, I'm like, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want it. Like, I want to wake up refreshed, and that's what I'm able to do with it. So
love it.
It's killing it, dude. It's killing it. So everybody wants some, go to thirdsy.com, use our code scales, SCALEZZZ, and you'll save 25%, and the stuff is awesome. And we'll get Christine back on in a few weeks and talk to her some more. Maybe she knows something about ice baths.
Oh, Justine? Yeah, she would know a lot about ice baths.
She's all about
recovery and things like that.
So. She's all about recovery. All about the recovery. All right, let's talk about dumb shit people do at CrossFit that they should mistakes. I shouldn't say dumb shit. Mistakes.
Dumb shit people do across.
Mistakes we all make and how to avoid them. That was what you sent me earlier today. But yep. That was really interesting because I've made so many mistakes over the year that I should have avoided. What's your big one or two?
Yeah, I have a really big one that I actually experienced the benefits of today. So when I first started CrossFit and for several years after, if I ever had, you know, what some... I guess in Europe, or maybe it's in New Zealand and Australia, I don't know. They call them niggles, but basically cracks, cricks, like basically strains in your mm-hmm. back. Have you ever got one of those like in your neck or in your back where it's just like, it feels like something is off and it's a bit painful. When I would have one of those, let's say like in my upper back, I used to think that the way to solve it was to jam like a lacrosse ball up in there. That's and then, you know, like put the lacrosse ball in there CrossFit. And like, say what?
That's old school CrossFit.
Yeah. And like, you know, like I had this like horrible, painful spot. I freaking jam a lacrosse ball in it and then just like move my arm up and down and just be like, ah, this is the worst pain I've ever experienced. You know, reach around and, you know, like swing my arms around and, you know, just basically create so much pain in that area that was supposed to magically heal it. And you know what, especially for the ones that I would get in my neck, like I would get these things where like I wouldn't be able to turn my head at all. You know, probably from doing way too many head slamming handstand pushups. And I would try to solve them with that, you know, quote unquote myofascial release. And it would just make it worse almost every single time. And like these neck cricks and this lower back or mid back pain would just last for like up to like weeks. And I just, it'd be rough. And I'd forego exercising and try to do more mobility to get through it. And all I've found as I've gotten older and wiser is if I just don't mess with it anymore and I go do movements that are still make it feel okay and not painful, it will literally just go away. So rather than trying to jam lacrosse ball in it, like I actually had like a pretty gnarly like mid back like strain that was not feeling very good, probably from all the pickleball that I've been playing where I'm like really aggressively hitting with my right arm and crossing my body. I had this like pretty gnarly, like one of the more annoying like injuries I've had in quite some time. And I was like, man, you know, it's hard for me even to like bend over and touch my toes. It's hard for me to do a lot of things. Like even deep breaths kind of hurt. But I told myself, I was like, you know what? I found that if I go work out and I get properly warmed up and I hit a CrossFit workout that goes through various ranges of motion, I tend to come out the other side feeling good. And I kid you not, like went to the gym this morning. I was like, you know, like just in the warm up, like it was taking me a little while. But then I literally started to feel it like loosen up. I was able to hit the entire workout today. And then I ran home and the rest of the day, I literally have not felt it once. I feel great. Like I can like twist and I, you know, barely feel a little bit of a twinge, where the other day I was like, I could hardly move it. So I really think that the big one for me, the big dummy mistake was I would try to attack the thing that hurt rather than just allow my body to let it heal and just do full ranges of motion, do workouts. As long as I'm not feeling extreme pain, the body kind of takes care of itself. And I can't tell you how many of these I've gotten through in like a 1 to 2 day period where it used to be like a week, week and a half, because I would just keep jamming lacrosse balls in it. So that was a big one for me. And it's been working really well lately.
So I'm going to summarize what you said. When you have a pain, you should ignore it and it will eventually just go away. That's kind basically of what you said.
Kind of.
Basically.
Kind of.
I do. My biggest mistake early on was not taking rest days at all. Like thinking I could cram fitness in, like just keep going back and by tomorrow you'll be really fit, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it was, so what we would do, what we were notorious for in the early days was we'd have 5 days of CrossFit that the coaches would program, and they had a Thursday was open gym, but was intended for a rest day. And then Sunday was not open at all. Mm-hmm. Well, my problem is, and my buddies own the gym, so we had the keys to the place. So we were routinely going in there on Sunday and doing some stupid shit. Like, and you know, it wasn't like, nobody goes in without the coach there and does like 3 rounds of step ups and jumping jacks. You know, you go in and you do like hero wads, like Zeus and King Kong and Murph and Clovis and like all, and we did all this crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then anytime there was a holiday, oh my God, like, every Thanksgiving we would do, I think it was called Clovis, which was 10-mile run and 150 burpee pull-ups. Break it up however you want, you know.
Dang.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, Stu, totally, like, no Harley. Reason to do that. Like, none. And so, consequently, I wasn't making any progress because I'm just doing stupid shit in the workouts. You know, not scaling properly, not eating properly. And then when I should be resting, I'm doing stupid shit again, you know? And so that's like, if I give anybody advice, and I'm following it strictly right now, and now I'm taking your advice of scaling the days before my rest days, that, you know, that you just cannot undervalue rest. You just cannot, like... Yep. And I feel like I'm getting really in tune with it. Now that I'm taking rest days, I'm really getting in tune with what's really hurting and what isn't. And you know, I don't know if my recovery is necessarily faster, but I feel like I'm more effective in the workouts that I'm doing. And at a minimum, feeling like I'm putting my best effort. Like I had a workout a week or so ago where the score, I felt like the score was not good for me. And I was frustrated by it, but I knew it was because I hadn't rested enough. you know, and so I could live with it. I'm like, all right, well, that's on me. That, you know, this wasn't a bad performance. That was just on me. Like, I should have rested. I should have taken a day off. Should have eaten better, you know. And so that's like, that'd be my big one for anyone. Like, take some time off, man. Don't go 7 days a week. I think it's cool, though, if you want to be in there 7 days a week. Like, it's cool if you want to go in and hang out, sit on the C2 bike and pedal slowly and talk to people and be part of the community, do mobility, go grab that lacrosse ball and jam it up your ass like Ben told you to. I mean, that's cool. Just don't go, you know, do something active, but don't do what I was doing, which is,
yeah,
hey, let's go do like one Saturday or Sunday. We're like, hey, let's go do 500 burpees for time. That was just like our fun day. We're like, okay, I've never done that before. So I'm like, I'll be there. So I grab a yoga mat and we go up to the track, and it's one of those black asphalt tracks. So now this yoga mat, I think I still have it, looks like the Shroud of Turin. Like, it's got a body imprint on it on the side from where I'm doing burpees on this thing, you know?
Yes.
And it took like 55 minutes, you know, just, it took forever.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's just brutal. You know, just do, you know, and then you go back in on Monday and you're like, why am I not effective today?
Yeah. You know? Man, like, why didn't I PR today?
Yeah, well, our coach would find out we were doing this shit, and then she'd start, like, we do that, and then you could guarantee on Monday, what was she going to program?
Burpees.
Yeah, because she'd find out what we were doing, and then she'd program that again. So now we got to do it twice, you know, and definitely not better the second time.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. I miss those days, though. Those days were fun.
Yeah.
The good old days. What other mistakes were you making, or you think others are making?
I think, another huge one, and this one's pretty self-evident, is only participating in your strengths. So I remember there were certainly days that I used to cherry pick, or especially when I was like writing my own programming, which was literally like, all right, deadlifts, power cleans, and bar muscle ups. Like, let's do it. I would only do the things that I really liked doing because it made me feel good about how good I was at them. There's a certain point where if you're, you know, a beginner that truly does want to improve, the mature way to improve is by, yes, allowing yourself enough rest days and recovery period. And then secondarily, it's making sure that you just attack your weaknesses, because you're going to have some strengths right away. And a lot of people, especially beginners, like, really like to lean into those strengths, which I totally understand. But if you are playing the long game, the first thing you should do is lean into your weaknesses. And then that's going to help make you progress a lot quicker. I can only imagine how much more fit I could have been if I, throughout my, you know, early competitive days, like, really focused on the things I wasn't good at. Instead, since I was working out in this group of competitive guys, it's like, obviously, like, we prioritize the things that we're really good at. So I would prioritize all the things I could beat everybody else in. And that doesn't necessarily enhance your actual competitiveness.
Dude, that's a hard one. Cause I still have days, like, we had rope climbs in a workout a week ago and I did not want to go in. Mm-hmm. I hate rope climbs.
You should
so
be
much.
The best at rope climbs.
Oh, I'm terrible at rope climbs and I hate them. Like, I just don't like doing them. What's that?
I said, I know a guy, rapid rope climbs is waiting for you, man.
No, I don't even want to be rapid. I don't like heights. Like, I just don't love rope climbs. But you know what? I've been in this mindset. It's like, if it's programmed, I'm going to go do it. Even if it's not a strength, if I don't like it, I'm still going to go do it. And mm-hmm. I'll complain about it, but I'm going to go do it. And I scaled it. I was doing 10-foot rope climbs instead of 15-foot rope climbs. But that's progress for me. Like, I actually did them. I was actually doing rope climbs, you know?
Nice.
But I think that's hard. I think it's hard for people. It's also hard when you're new, especially because often those movements you're not good at, you now have to scale. And now you're doing something different from the rest of the class. The stimulus is different. You're going to finish at a different time. God forbid if it slows you down and now you're last and doing something different. That's really frustrating for new people.
Yep.
You just got to set that aside. I think the other thing I would have done different early on, I wish I had changed my diet on day one.
Mm.
I didn't change it for well over a year.
Maybe what was your diet previously?
Oh, it was a strict diet of corn dogs and Hot Pockets, I think. Mm. I had little kids. My kids were like 3 and 5, and, you know,
so you decided to eat like them.
Well, I wasn't, you know, actually, I shouldn't say that. When I started, I'd been doing P90X and I'd lost a bunch of weight. I was really thin, far thinner than I am now, at least from a weight standpoint. And so I was eating, I wouldn't say I was eating healthy and nutritious. I wasn't eating for performance. Does that make sense? Like, mm-hmm. I was like calorie counting.
Right.
You know, and when you calorie count, that you can do that with processed food, frozen foods. You know, not all, it's not that all that's bad. It's just like, I wasn't thinking about what do I need? You know, I didn't really care to learn about macros and any of that. At some point, I want to say it was a couple of years in, it was at least over a year. This was in the paleo days. I decided to go paleo, you know, and so you spend 2 weeks of the paleo flu of, you know, you get all these you know, all your carbs are gone and now you're, you know,
depressed.
Yeah, depressed and sad and slow. But then at some point, my body adjusted and it kicked in, and it was noticeable, like noticeable to my friends who had been kicking my ass in workouts for a year. Where all of a sudden, I'm competitive, and that's when the lights switch flipped for me. That it, you know, wasn't about simply being the fittest. You had to fuel yourself for this, and so mm-hmm. I do not recommend paleo to people. Although it's not a terrible way to live if you like it. It just, I think what it was for me was just the low hanging fruit of diets. I got all that processed food out and had nothing but, you know, vegetables and meat and, you know, things that, you know, the ingredient was literally what you were eating, you know, mm-hmm. didn't have like 10 things in it. And so it made a noticeable difference for me in like how I performed. And I wish I had done that far, far earlier. And I also wish I had spent more time early, really learning what would be best for me.
Yeah.
Which, you know, paleo wasn't best for me. So I wish I had spent more time once I figured out that, all right, now that it's affecting me, maybe I need to play with it and figure out what's absolutely going to be best. And, you know, I didn't really do that. I still kind of was winging it for a couple of years mm-hmm. there, you know, now I have a much better sense, but you know, it's a decade of mistakes at this point. Yeah.
Love it.
I still love my junk food though, Ben. I still love
it. Hey, you don't have to tell me twice. I went to Chick-fil-A today because I didn't have time to make food. And I was like, you know what? It's been a rough week. I'm going to, you know, since the last Monday, I'm going to go get some Chick-fil-A. Dude. And I know I was in a serious calorie deficit from the hiking and the pickleball tournaments and the lack of eating. So, yeah.
Well, see, that's my problem. I, you know, my daughters are 20 and 18 and one of them rolls in today with some Chick-fil-A. I was like, this is not good.
It's delicious. It's not good.
It smelled great. I didn't have any. Hey, look, the comments are back. Look, they're back in the chat now.
We did it.
I know. But it only took an hour.
One thing I totally forgot to mention, you know, I was talking about the low lights of the past week, and there was a couple of them, which is okay. It can't always be great. But a highlight that I didn't talk about that kind of was the shining bright point of my week was I got to go as a camp counselor to the fire camp. So Forging Youth Resilience summer camp here or around here in Boulder. And unfortunately, I didn't block out my calendar properly to avoid filling the days, but I was able to get up there for one full day, you know, from breakfast all the way through dinner. And it was awesome because I got to, you know, speak a couple times and we did a big rope swing that was on Instagram and it was a big rope swing. But I also got to lead a double under seminar for all these kids. And all these kids come from, they're all like at-risk youth.
Right.
They come from different parts of the country. Some of them with some pretty rough neighborhoods. And they are incredible kids that work their butt off. And I did like a little double under seminar. And I think it was like 10 kids got their first double unders ever, including a couple. There was this one kid who had never done double unders. And then by the end of that session, he hit a Metcon that had 20 unbroken double unders per round, and he nailed it, the whole thing. And it just blew my mind how good he was.
Kids will make you sick. When Meg was 14, maybe 15, I was taking her to Mentality with me at Scott's gym. And it took me 6 months to learn double unders. And I mean 6 hard months, dude. Like every single day doing double unders. legs just beat up from whipping that rope into them. Like, it was terrible. Yeah. Took me forever. She got it in a week. Yeah. I mean, good in a week. I wanted to shake her. I'm like, this is, I mean, she had them almost immediately. There's something about kids. Like, they just don't have any preconceived notions. Or preconceived mistakes, like they just it's ridiculous. That's good, man. That's forging youth resilience is the real deal.
Great people, great kids, and I'm definitely stoked to get back and do that again next year.
There you go. All right, what else you have coming up this week? Anything you
I guess the main thing is just I'm super excited about this new course. I didn't say earlier where people could get it, but Strong Mind is officially open for enrollment. It's open through Thursday night. It's over 50% off. So the combination of we have this one enrollment period plus it's over 50% off because it's the first time we're releasing it to the public. It's a great deal and a lot of people have already taken advantage of it. And hopefully the great reviews will start rolling in soon. But Dawn and I just looked through the material not too long ago together and we're like, whoa. This is good. Like, this turned out really well. And it's also one of our least expensive courses we've ever released, just kind of as like a thank you to our audiences. So I think it's only $67. So it's a great deal. Go grab it. If you just go to wadprep.com, if it's still open for enrollment, you'll see a banner at the top of the page on wadprep.com that says something about Strong Mind being open. You click that button and then it'll take you to the info page where you can check it out for yourself.
Very cool. That's good stuff, man. Well, I don't have much myself going on here. I'm just going to get all my stuff together for our Madison trip and get excited to get to see everybody again in person.
Hopefully we see lots of listeners in person and all listeners stay tuned for deets on the official Wad Prep / Make Wads Great Again / Scale and Bill / whatever other company we decide to throw in the mix party that'll be happening on Friday night of the games, I believe.
Friday night. All right. Sounds good. Well, it's been fun, dude. Let me know when you're ready to hire an assistant and I'll help you find one. We'll get you somebody.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to need it soon enough. Things are already breaking. The roof on my Tesla cracked. Come on.
Oh, world's coming to an end.
Everything's falling down around me.
All right. Well, with that, everyone, appreciate you guys joining, and we will chat with you guys next week.
Peace.